All right. Good morning on this fine Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. Holy crap, man, I'm tired. I got stuck on a call last night until about 1:45 this morning. I gotta say that being the only person in an organization that has a specific skill set is, I guess it results in situations like this. It's just like, I'm not on call for anything. I'm none of that stuff, but what am I supposed to do? Not help a customer? But of course, any other resource that was available was unavailable, or that could have been available somehow were magically not available. The people that are supposed to be on call. That's why I just absolutely hate this place, because they're just like, they don't see this as a problem. The fact that somebody that makes almost $100 an hour was on call last night, and they're paying for all that time, when it should be somebody that makes half as much to do this work. But they don't see it as a problem. You know, they just, oh, everything got done. The customer's happy. Everything's great. Yeah, that may be the case, but I mean, yeah, it's just the same old crap. I'm just fed up and sick and tired of it. Anyway, I go for my drug test on Friday, and I'll pass that. I don't do any drugs, like I said. So hopefully I can tell these people to suck the big one and just move on to something else. Oh, God, I'm exhausted now. You know, and of course, for me, like, I have a hard time. Like, if I interrupt my sleep, I get to if I don't go upstairs and go to bed at a reasonable hour, I kind of get like a second wind. So I'll be up. All of a sudden I'm like wide awake. So I only got like 4 hours of sleep, maybe 4.5 hours of sleep at most. And I still woke up at, you know, 7:45 this morning. And it's like, ugh, God, I'm exhausted. So it probably took me an hour to actually fall asleep. And then, you know, I don't know. I don't like getting run down like this, especially now with, you know, COVID and all this crap going on. The last thing I want to do is get sick, whether it's the flu or COVID or, you know, even just a regular cold or something like that. So I blasted up the vitamin C and the magnesium today. So, and I did it yesterday as well. Not like I knew this was going to happen, but just trying to be, you know, precautionary and preventative is, you know, if the next couple of weeks I'm going to have to start going into an office and be around strange people, in an enclosed building, I don't want to, have my immune system down. I like to give myself the best opportunity not to get sick. That would be awesome, right? I mean, I have no idea what's really going on with all this stuff, but I see plenty of posts where, you know, some people are fine if they get COVID and some people are absolutely not fine. And then, of course, unfortunately, some people lose their life to it. So that's disappointing all the way around the horn there. So I don't really want to I really want to deal with that if I don't have to. So I'm trying to keep my immune system in tip-top shape. But number one on that list is getting a good night's sleep. And I just got a shitty night's sleep. So I feel like crap, unfortunately. But that would never stop me from doing the Bipolar Bear podcast. Remember Pigs in Space? Pigs in Space. That was, you know, I used to look forward to the Muppets when I was a kid. That was a great show. Those two old guys up in the balcony heckling everybody. Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog always fighting Fozzie the Bear. Oh man, what memories, right? I mean, that's when TV used to be like something you waited for a show to come on and it was exciting when it came on. Whereas now you just go to Netflix and binge the entire season in one sitting. Yeah, a little bit different experience, I guess, today, but I've become a little complacent with all that stuff too. And that, like, if I'm not a huge fan of series because there's such a time suck. I mean, it, you know, something's got like 4 or 5 seasons. That's awesome because you can watch 4 or 5 seasons, but it's days worth of watching. And I just don't have that kind of time. So I don't watch a lot of series oriented television or entertainment. I want to watch, like, you know, maybe I've got an hour and a half, 2 hours at most to sit and watch a movie, but most of the time I'll choose to do something else. Cause to me, I have this like bent, I guess, in my head that because I'm not successful with any of the things that I'm trying to do, it feels like I feel guilty. It's like, well, if I'm sitting down and watching TV, that's time I should be spending doing something productive to try to help my career, like whether it's podcasting or auditioning for more books or writing more songs or, you know, any applying for more jobs, whatever it might be. I feel somewhat, well, not somewhat, I feel completely neglectful of the duties that I have because I haven't reached a point where I feel that I can kind of chill. Maybe that's what this is all about. I'm trying to get to a point where I can just go and take a deep breath and be like, okay, I've arrived. I'm here. The rest is going to be gravy. And I don't mean that it'll be easy. I just mean that it'll be, it's known. I'm where I'm, supposed to be. I know what I'm supposed to do and I'm doing what I want to be doing. That to me is like a you know, a deep release in terms of, or a sigh of relief in terms of just the pressure of like right now in this job that I have now, they're either going to fire me or I'm going to quit. I mean, that is no kind of way to get up every day and live your life. That sucks, right? I don't want to feel like every day I come in, I'm scrutinized, I'm micromanaged. I'm, well, what are you doing? What did you do with this? What did you do last week? Your time card wasn't what we expected it to be. You know, just, I don't want to hear that crap. Just shut the fuck up and let me do my job. You know, I mean, last night into this morning was a perfect example of what the hell you have somebody like me on staff for, because when all the boneheads that you supposedly have that can do all this magically don't show up, guess who gets the call? Me. And because I'm a good, you know, a good worker and a quality employee, of course, I'm going to answer the phone and get online when I get called at 4:45. And then spend 9.5 hours or whatever it was on a freaking phone call trying to solve a problem in technology that I haven't looked at in over 10 years. And that's kind of the other unrewarding thing about this is that it's some of it's legacy and it's just shit that I just don't care about. You know, and I got to stretch way back like LVMs and things like that. Like I love Linux and that's great, but having to work on an actual operating system's disks is so, I mean, that's ridiculous, actually. You would have to even consider doing that, but that's what I spent almost 9 hours doing yesterday, that and restoring data. Mind-numbing, yeah. So I have a headache. I feel like crap. I'm tired. You know, I wasn't actually even feeling that great yesterday. You know, something's going on with my heart again. It was like, all of a sudden, and that's what's so effed about all this stuff is like, out of nowhere, like I was upstairs helping my son cook dinner. I'm teaching him how to make chicken cutlets because he's a really good cook. And so I'm helping him expand his repertoire, if you will, so he can cook more stuff. But he loves chicken and he likes to cook all kinds of chicken. So he really does like chicken cutlets. So I was, you know, showing him how to do that. And then like all of a sudden, there was nothing like physically wrong with me, but my heart just started, I don't know, it felt like it was beating weird, but it really wasn't. It felt like it was sped up, but it wasn't. I went and checked my blood pressure and it was super high. It was like 90 or 140 over 90, which is pretty high for me. Because remember, I take a medication that really, a beta blocker that lowers your blood pressure big time. So I shouldn't ever have high blood pressure. So I don't know if that was stress, if I didn't eat enough, or if I needed to eat. I don't know. My body is funny. If I don't give it the right kind of food or enough food, it really doesn't appreciate it. So it's really difficult for me to be on a any kind of like normal diet, you know, like to do any kind of a diet, because for me to like, I know this sounds like a cop out, but it's not. I haven't figured out what it is I need to eat to keep my body going and functioning right. But I can definitely feel it when I don't have enough energy. Not in the sense that I'm super tired, but like things start going wrong in my body. Like my heart will start to palpitate. Things just, you know, I get like my head gets all weird and like kind of foggy and confused. It's just a weird thing. And it's always like if I go eat a full meal in about 20 minutes, I feel much like totally fine. It's like, well, that's the problem, right? But my greatest issue is that I don't really eat meals throughout the day. Like I just had a muffin and I'm sure that, you know, it wasn't like a bran muffin. It was a butter rum muffin. So yeah, just loaded with sugar and calories, I'm sure. So that's about a half an hour worth of energy that will just crash me out, I'm sure. And I have a cup of coffee, but you know, I don't really have like a full lunch. I don't eat typically until like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So I think I'm screwing that up from a eat right and eat throughout the day kind of way. And no matter how I try, I don't seem to be able to fix that. You know, I've been working with a nutritionist for a while and it's like we don't have the food here in the house. I don't know what to go, but what am I supposed to eat for breakfast? You know, I don't really have the time to go upstairs and cook like for 30 minutes, an entire meal. My wife is a fill in the blank and does absolutely zero for anyone other than herself. So I don't know what she's doing, but there's never been an occasion where she's ever done anything for me, like to help out or anything like that. So I'm totally on my own with that. And I'm just failing. That's just the way it goes. What are you going to do? Doesn't always work out the way you want it to, right? But yeah, definitely the amount of food that I eat or the kind of food that I eat definitely affects my overall mental state and well-being, my feeling or sense of well-being. I have a real, and you think, God, even as I'm saying this, I'm like, what am I, a fucking just a complete idiot? I can't, I mean, I'm giving myself the answer. I need to eat a meal. maybe I'll go make some eggs or something when I'm done here. I don't know. But yeah, you know, it'd be so nice if we had like, you know, medical technology that would tell you all these things from, hey, this is what you need to eat. This is what your body is craving. You know, I just can't fathom why we don't have that kind of technology at this point. It certainly seems within the realm of possibility. It doesn't seem like that's something outside of our intellect and our technology today that we'd be able to take a, you know, like how you do a blood glucose test and just be like, oh, you're deficient in this, that, and the other thing, and go eat this, that, and the other thing, and you'll feel better. And this, I mean, I've always been a proponent, not that I don't like to eat and enjoy taste and all that stuff, but I've always been a proponent of, why don't we have like a legitimate paste supplement, like, you know, Soylent Green. I'm totally dating myself, but if you get what that reference is, it was a movie from a long time ago. Anyway, and then there's Chud, cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. Yeah. So anyway. The point being is, why don't we, you know, we have like protein powders and, you know, like powdered vegetables and all that kind of stuff. But why don't we have like, here's your three meals, drink them. And it, you know, like I'm sure I would think that like astronauts have something like that. Like they just, you can't really bring real food up into space. So they're bringing some kind of nutritional supplement foods that they eat on. And I would think that would be perfect. I mean, it would be the right amount of food. It would be the right amount of nutrients, the right amount of calories, the right amount of fats, the right amount of, you know, everything. You could engineer this perfect thing. And then, you know, I mean, cripe, you know how much healthier this country alone would be if we did something like that? Now, granted, that would, excuse me. Granted, that would put a lot of places out of business potentially. But, you know, we're engineering food anyway. Like, you know, McDonald's, is that really meat? Is that really a hamburger? Yeah, probably not. So if we're engineering the food anyway, why would we not just engineer something of high quality? And I'm fine if it's expensive. You know, I mean, if a cheeseburger that's a complete pile of shit at McDonald's is $2, why couldn't we have a $10 burger that's, you know, really healthy and really good for you in every way, from the bun to the beef in the center, you know, whatever that is, make it into this shake or drink, or, I mean, I guess it could be solid food as well. I don't care. You know, people might want to have that experience of chewing and swallowing something solid, but I would absolutely go for something like that. If there was a meal plan or something like that, that wasn't real, like normal food, but was biologically engineered or chemically engineered, not with anything but pure natural ingredients. No, none of this filler crap and all these chemicals that are killing us slowly with every bite, but something that just satisfied your nutritional needs in however many meals you're supposed to eat a day, 3, 5, 6, whatever, I don't know, whatever it is. I would absolutely subscribe to a program like that. So somebody, if you're listening out there and you're like innovative, I just gave out a great idea, and go run with it, because I don't ever know what to do with these ideas, and I think they're awesome. I think that would be a winner, but what the hell am I supposed to do with that? Who do I take an idea for, you know, a biologically engineered food substitute? Where do I go get that made? Shark Tank? You know, I have no idea. You know, so somebody that's way smarter or has these kind of connections or knows what they're doing, please take that idea and make it. And I'd love to be your first subscriber, because I think that would be very beneficial for me to be able to eat like some kind of a protein patty or something that would just give me the right balance of everything. But again, remember, it's got to be tailored to me. So it would have to be from some kind of, you know, ongoing kind of blood scan or something like you would do if you were diabetic, where it measures your insulin. Perhaps we could tailor a diet off of measuring your insulin. And then this, you would get every month, you know, you do blood tests, maybe not necessarily daily, but a couple times a week. And then they could tweak the formula for you, but it would be unique to you. I think it would be a generalized formula. You know, it'd be something holistic from a compound standpoint. It would be, you know, all the same compounds, but each individual might need different amounts of each in their particular proprietary formula. I think that would be an awesome business model, right? I mean, again, I don't have any idea how you would do something like that, but I think that would be a really cool thing. And if there is something like that out there, could somebody please, and I've only asked 115 times in every podcast I've ever done, could somebody please reach out to me? I'm not hard to find on social media, Garrett Michael Conklin in the Google search box, and the first 5 to 6 pages are all me. They're the actual me, so I'm not hard to find on the internet. Anyway, sorry for being a dick there, but my point being, you know, reach out, man. Let me know if you know something like this. I mean, you know, I take, like, in addition to 2, prescribed medications, I take 10 other pills a day for supplements. So I'm totally into that kind of thing. And then again, I attribute a lot of my own physical well-being and mental well-being, even though I don't have mental well-being, anyway, to a lot of the fact that I take supplements and supplement the fact that I know I'm not eating all of the nutrients and getting all the vitamins and minerals that I need. So I supplement that stuff. But at the same time, it would be great if everything I ate, you know, like you see these things, like I think there's something called super coffee or something like that, where it's filled with nutrients. And I've seen this mushroom coffee stuff that's supposed to be really good. Green tea is obviously supposed to be really good for you as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking for something like that. So if you know of that, reach out and let me know, is what I'm getting at. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm sorry. I'm kind of like wired, but asleep at the same time. Like my eyes are, they're wide open, but at the same time, I'm just like very lethargic and I don't feel like I have much brain power. It's not going to last the whole day, I can assure you of that. But I definitely have this problem where once I'm awake, it's really hard for me to fall back to sleep. So like when I woke up at 7:45 this morning, I was awake. And I laid there for like 15 or 20 minutes and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just fall back to sleep. And it's like, nope, done. So I could go back upstairs right now if I want, just take the rest of the day off and just lay down and I'll just friggin' lay there and look at the ceiling. And so it's like, well, what's the point? I might as well do something for as long as I can, because I'm just going to be counterproductive and not really get any sleep and not feel any better anyway. So what's the point? There is no point. So I don't do things like that. I wish, you know, my wife can just like lay her head on a pillow and literally within 10 seconds, she's snoring. So it's like, well, that would be awesome. You know, my brain is just, here's my problem. My brain is either going 100 miles an hour, you know, and its thoughts are racing through my head, or you would think, well, okay, stop the thoughts from racing through your head. Yeah, that's just as bad, because if the thoughts are racing through my head, that's normal for me. So I feel energized and ready to go and, you know, take the day on. If my head has no thoughts in it, that's when I get into this weird depression mode where I start feeling uncomfortable and awkward because there's just like too much silence in my head. I know that's kind of a weird thing and it sounds weird to say it, but that's actually a pretty good explanation of what happens, is that I don't have enough going on in my brain and it kind of slows down to the point where there's nothing going on. And then I start to be like, start to see and feel weird and awkward and uncomfortable and unfamiliar and dissociated. That's where that feeling comes from, is that my brain isn't going at 100 miles an hour. It's stopped, or it's going like 5 miles an hour. And all of a sudden I can see all of the weird nuances that I would never have given a second glance if I was whizzing by them at 100 miles an hour. You ever do that? Like you drive down a street that you've driven down a million times, and then you walk down that same street, and it's almost like a surreal experience. It's like you've never been there before because you're actually going so much slower and you're not paying attention to the road because you're not driving a vehicle. You can look at the house and see all the subtleties and the flowers and the colors and look up at the sky and look at the trees. And it's like this whole different experience if you walk somewhere as opposed to driving somewhere. So I liken it to that kind of an experience where, for the most part, I'm driving and I'm driving above the speed limit. You know, not that I'm excelling at anything. I'm just, that's how my brain is wired. It's just go, go, go. A million different thoughts. I'm standing in the shower and I'm having like 20 different conversations in my head and thoughts and all this stuff is racing. And when I get in the shower and that doesn't happen, that's when I feel really weird and awkward and start to panic, because all of a sudden I'm thinking, what is this bar of soap? Or where am I? I know I'm in the shower, but what am I doing? You know, I start having these really bizarre thoughts, and it's scary as hell, to be honest. I mean, that's the biggest problem for me. And I think that's where the panic and the anxiety comes from, is when I get into these kind of states of mind where I'm feeling like that, everything starts to get distorted. It's almost like being on a drug, where, like, you know, your reality gets altered. Like, why would I... Just crazy shit. Like, how is my name Garrett? You know, I mean, how is the word Garrett mean something? How does the word chicken mean something? You just friggin' ridiculous thoughts, like stuff like that. Why would you ever think of crap like that? Or think about things like that, right? It just is. Those aren't things to question in that way. And when you do, at least for me, it's a very disconcerting feeling, and it's very unnerving and unsettling. And then it just kind of builds and builds and builds into this like meltdown of some kind. So I don't know what the hell that is, but that's actually a pretty good way to describe it for me, is that my mind is always racing. And then when it's not, it's very unsettling feeling. I guess I'm better just winging it than I am being alone with my thoughts that aren't just happening on their own. Maybe I'm making it more confusing now. I don't know. But yeah, I can't just go lay down and fall asleep. That's a real disappointment for me, because I know there's a lot of folks that can do that, and that's, you know, good for you. Like, probably all I need is like a solid, you know, a full deep 20 minute nap would make me feel a lot better than I do right now. But that may or may not happen. It really hasn't. I mean, there's been times when I'll just go lay in the bed with my wife and she's just laying there watching TV or something. And then all of a sudden I've been out for 15 minutes. And she's like, holy crap, you were snoring like a log. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize I fell asleep. So it has happened, but it's not usually with intent. I didn't go into the room to fall asleep. I went in there to just be with her and watch TV, and I just ended up falling asleep. So I guess it's like, if I do it with intent, I have less success, because then I pressure myself into, okay, got to sleep. Okay. Got to get up. It's 10 o'clock now. We only got till noon. So start falling asleep. And then I just hype myself up to this point where I'm never going to fall asleep. It's just not going to happen. So yeah, welcome to the psycho that is me. I mean, I've been rambling on here for a while, and here I'm telling you that I'm exhausted and I'm tired, but I have not shut up for what, 20 something minutes straight here? Good thing I'm tired, I guess, huh? Or it would be a lot more. Maybe not. I don't know. I guess this is just how I am, whether I'm tired or I'm not tired. But trying to live my best life, man. That isn't that what we're all trying to do? Trying to make it through. But yeah, I'm really, you know, I've got a couple other opportunities that I'm looking at. A couple other places have reached out to me. But, you know, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I've taken this position at this other place. It's just a matter of personal and professional references, a background check, and a drug screen. And then we can set a start date and move forward. But, you know, here's some good advice. don't ever put your notice in anywhere until you have all of these ducks in a row. Not that I'm in any way feeling in jeopardy of something not coming back on the up and up, but you never know. Quick story. My mother, let's see, this was probably like 30 years ago. I think this was just before we had our son. So yeah, somewhere in the 20 to 30 year range. Was in sales, dental sales for a lot of years, and was a great salesperson, you know, making a six-figure income, doing really well. And they were, my parents were going to move to Minneapolis, Minnesota, because she got a job down there that was, I guess, this great opportunity. And everything was ready to go. They sold their house, you know, they were ready to go. They had picked out a place they were going to stay until they could find a house in Minnesota. And then like a month, I think it was a month, maybe a few weeks before my mother was going to leave, the guy decided to change his mind and rescinded the offer. It's like, dude, we sold our house. We have all our shit packed up and ready to go. And now my mom had already given her notice to her other employer. So she was out of a job completely. They had already sold their house. So they had to move out of the house, because all the paperwork had been signed. So they had to go live in a temporary, like a, I don't know what they're called, like a fully furnished kind of apartment that, you know, has a, you know, kitchenette and all that kind of stuff. And then they had to go house shopping locally to go buy another home. It was like, so we lost our childhood house. My mom didn't get this job, and they had to go live in a friggin' apartment for like 2 months until they got another place. So yeah, I mean, at some point you have to be, you know, committed to something, but you know, things can happen is my point. You never know what's really, what's up. I mean, these guys, this is in New York State. It's a right to work environment. So they could, for no good reason, just be like, yeah, you know, we don't feel like this is going to work out. Or, you know, God forbid something one of my references says is just not the right thing. I don't know. Maybe they say something that they didn't want to hear, or that painted me in a light that wasn't positive for this employer. And, you know, because I have no idea. I just typically, when you give references, it's always a good idea to let your references know, hey, I first of all, ask their permission. I'd be like, you know, I'd like to use you as a professional or a personal reference. Is that okay with you? And once it's okay with them, you know, then you provide them as a reference saying, yeah, well, I'm looking actively now. So if you get a call, I'd appreciate it if you could respond and have a conversation, 15 minutes, whatever it is, with these people and be my reference. So it's always a good thing to let them know that they're being used as a reference. And I can't imagine that any references that I would use would say anything negative. But again, you really don't know how things can be interpreted. Plenty of things that I've said that I thought were positive were taken the wrong way. So, you know, there's so much that depends on the interaction and the mood of the person on the other end of the call, or, you know, all that kind of stuff can go into play. And the last thing you want to do is, yeah, you know, I quit and here's my 2 weeks notice. And then you get a reference that came back that wasn't outstanding. And then the company decides they don't want to offer you the job anymore. Because everything is contingent, right? If you read all of these offers, like if you read your offer, everything is contingent on successfully getting through the background check, successfully passing the drug screen, and successfully having your references check out. So yeah, I have an offer, but it's nothing until those three facets have been satisfied completed satisfactorily. Excuse me. I can't really say anything at this point. I mean, there's a good offer on the table. And maybe next week I'll know. You know, when everything comes back, I wasn't even able to get in for the drug test until Friday morning. So, you know, it's just, everything is waiting. And for me, waiting sucks. I have very little patience for anything. I like to know and then like to move forward. But, you know, on the positive, I'm using this time to continue to pursue other opportunities, because if this does fall through, I don't want to just be stuck where I am, because the more I think about this and really go over it in my head, I'm just so, and I know I'm repeating myself. I apologize. If you listen to this stuff, you listen to my episodes, I whine about this stuff all the time, and I apologize. But it really does help me to reassure that, I, you know, because I'm very nervous that I'm making bad decisions, because you know, this place that I'm at now was supposed to be this end all be all great opportunity. And I'm going to retire here and this is going to be awesome. And Garrett, you're the future of this company and blah, 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 blah. And here I am. None of that shit, you know, entertaining offers for other jobs still. So you can well imagine that I, and justifiably, I don't have a lot of confidence in my ability to pick the right answer, you know, or choose the right thing, because I just don't apparently do that. And I must be severely lacking in that skill, that I can't read people or understand what's really going on. I'm very easily persuaded and snowed. Maybe I'm very gullible. I don't know. Like, I want to believe the best in people. And when they tell me great things, I want to believe that they're real. And oftentimes I'm let down. And you know, the reality is that they're full of shit. And it's not at all what they claim it to be. Now, of course, I understand that everyone embellishes everything, right? Like, here I am whining about stuff. It's really not that bad. You know, I mean, my life isn't miserable where I'm homeless and, you know, I have all these, I'm not, you know, on hospice and dying and you know, it could be way worse is my point. But, you know, when I look at things through a microscope, it's like, oh my God, everything's crumbling all my life. It's just that, you know, I think I'm just a self-entitled whiny little bitch, you know, and that's just the way I am. And I really need to fix that. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's embarrassing. If you didn't get that about me, when I'm embarrassed, I laugh. And often I'm laughing. So recall that. Oftentimes I'm embarrassed. I mean, you know, it's not like I'm proud of the fact that I'm a loser and that I'm failing at all these things. I'm not. But I'm also, like, I'm ashamed of it, but I'm not able to not embrace it and own it and talk about it openly. I don't know what you call that in terms of a personality, but I can't sit here and just pretend like everything is great and, oh yeah, everything's awesome and my life is wonderful. It just, to me, it isn't. But it kind of is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. I have no idea. This is what happens when I don't get enough sleep. I'm talking about things that make no sense. It's like pure fragmentation. These are just run-on sentences or sentence fragments, and they make no sense at all. So this is, I apologize for this one. This is a rough episode, I'm sure, to get through, but there's got to be a couple of hidden gems in here somewhere that that mean something or shed a little bit of light on something I'm going through. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I'm still going through in my mind, because I have all this time on my hands to wait for these other processes to complete. Am I making the right choice? You know, is this the right decision? Is going to drive 45 minutes one way to this job and then 45 minutes home for this job, and these people, are they telling me the truth? Is this really going to be a good opportunity? Or 2 weeks into it, am I going to hate it and it's going to suck, or it's not going to be what I want it or think it's going to be? You know, and a lot of that will be up to me, because I can make it what I want to make it, but I feel very unsure of myself because my decision-making capabilities appear to be flawed. And again, you know, when I mentioned a few episodes ago, I brought this up to my wife. You're like, well, Garrett, why don't you speak to your wife and talk to your family about this? Maybe they can help you. Well, yeah, I did that. And all they did was point out every negative. Well, you're going to hate the drive and you're going to hate this. And it's, I'm like, well, I mean, that wasn't very constructive. That was pretty one-sided, like, don't do it. You know, we didn't have like a meaningful debate about any of these points. It was just everything that I'm going to inconvenience my wife with is what her contribution to that discussion was. So why even bother having it? And that's, you know, that's just one more thing that makes me so sad and miserable, is that I have to do all of this on my own. Even though I'm not alone, I'm alone. Nobody helps. You know, and I don't mean my kids, you know, my kids are my kids. They're not here to help. And my son does help a lot. He does tons of stuff around the house. And even my daughters, they pick up the slack and do things here and there, and they give me hugs and stuff. And that's wonderful. But I'm not talking about that kind of help. I'm just saying that because I don't want, if ever they hear any of this crap, to think that I'm thinking that it was their responsibility to come and support me. It's not. They're kids, you know, that's not their job. It's my wife's job. Right. So if she's ever listening to this crap, it's your fucking fault. This is your problem. You don't support anything that I do. You take everything I do for granted. You don't give a shit about me at all. You just use me for everything that I'm worth. And then you wonder why I'm miserable and treat you like shit. You know, I don't do anything physical to my wife, but I am a mental tyrant. I am not nice at all, because how can you be nice to somebody that treats you like shit all the time? That's never there for you, that's never supporting you, that never gives a shit about anything, but uses you for everything that you provide. I mean, it's like the biggest conundrum, word of the day, had to stick it in there, of my life is my marriage. It's like, what in the world did I do that for? I've been supporting a person for 20 years that doesn't give a fuck if I'm dead or alive, other than the fact that I have to keep supporting them. And it's been stated on many occasions when things have been difficult for us that, well, I'm not going to go do this and I'm not going to support you. If I got to go work, then I'm going to just take care of myself and you're on your own. You know, just absolute pure evil. I mean, just why would you even want to be here? That's the other question. And you know what the answer is? I'm never going to leave because that's what you want. And I wouldn't want to give you the satisfaction and see you be happy. I mean, what the fuck? Who says that shit? I mean, that's awful. Why? I mean, you're going to make yourself stay in a miserable situation just so that I remain miserable. And I mean, if you're not getting it, I don't want that. What I want from my wife is for her to love me and care about me and be a part of my life, not be this miserable, hateful, jaded, I don't know, mess, whatever she is. I mean, I can't imagine she's happy. How could you be happy if you'd say a thing like that? There's no possible way. That's, you know, like how I feel about my job. It's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to do this despite you. But I mean, but she's doing that to her husband. It's the craziest thing. I mean, I'll never in my lifetime understand my wife. And I'm not trying to criticize her or anything. We're just people on opposite sides of the field, and we are never going to meet anywhere. We just keep running, but we're running in parallel, not in perpendicular. Nobody, you know, I've tried to run perpendicularly and somehow meet up with her somewhere, but it just doesn't work because it's completely one-sided and she never will run at me perpendicularly. So we're not ever running toward each other. At best, I'm running toward her, but she's still running away from me on an angle. Am I visualizing, am I describing this right? So perpendicular is a right angle, right? It's like an intersection. So if I'm running toward her line of being perpendicular, I mean, I'm trying to reach her by running forward, but she's running left or right. It's really hard to curve that perpendicular when you're trying to go 90 degrees, you're going in a straight line. So I can't keep curving to try to meet where I just can't ever get there. Because no matter what I say or do, it's the wrong thing. We'll have these like blowout arguments. And then hours later, she'll send me a post for like, oh, we should go look at this house. Like, what in the hell are you talking about? We were just talking about getting divorced. And you're sending me links to go look at a $400,000 house you want to buy. Like, what kind of shit are you on, man? Are you doing drugs without me knowing it? And I mean, I'm not making fun of it. I don't understand why you would ever think like that. How could you possibly be happy? If you're miserable, why would you want to stay? I don't want to stay. I mean, I do in the sense that I have this undying hope that at some point something is going to change, but you know, facing reality, 20 years has gone by and nothing has really changed. And I've gotten way, way worse than I ever have been before. I mean, I used to be much more tolerant of these things and forgiving of these things and just kind of went along with it. Now I just am like, fuck you. I'm not going. I'm not doing this. I don't care. Go do whatever you want on your own. You don't need me. You don't want me there anyway. It's just awkward and uncomfortable. Nobody wants to talk to me. Nobody wants me around. Nobody gives a shit if I'm there anyway. So you guys go. What do I need to be there for? It's just a waste of my time for no benefit for anyone. So I'm not even really being selfish. I'm actually being polite because people don't want to talk to me anyway. So why would I go? I'm just forcing someone to have an uncomfortable conversation or situation that they don't really want to have, but they want to be polite and make me feel comfortable. So we start talking about absolutely nothing. And then you end up standing there looking at each other going, okay, well, there's nothing else to say, I guess. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And, you know, to try to kind of break away from the whole thing. It's awful. And I'm not blaming other people. I'm just saying I might not be the greatest conversationalist if I'm in the wrong audience of people. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. So I guess I can just stand there and listen, and that's about all I have to do. Because for whatever reason, the people in my personal life, we share nothing in common. It's not like I hang out with a bunch of music people and we all talk about music and jam and do all kinds of stuff like that. It's none of that. The only time music comes up in conversation is when my wife wants to show off the fact that our daughter's a great singer, which is great. And then it inevitably goes to, oh, you know, Garrett, I've heard your stuff. You're wonderful, wonderful. You know, and they get into these things and I'm like, you know, I'm super jaded in that. So I'm like, nah, I'm terrible at guitar. I don't even know what I'm doing. I can't really write music. I'm just, you know, it's just a hot, I just demean myself all the way because I don't even want to talk about it. Because it's something I'm so passionate about, I'll get all worked up and then I get into these long conversations that just bores the shit out of these people because they really didn't want to talk about it to begin with. I think they were just being polite. Because the reality is, if I was really any good at any of these things that I'm doing, I would already be successful doing it, right? I mean, how else can you explain all this failure? It's just not good. I mean, that doesn't change my opinion. I love the music that I make. It doesn't mean that it's any good. I just happen to really enjoy it and I like making it and it's fun to do. So I do it. But I mean, those two things are mutually exclusive. It does, just because I'm enjoying doing it doesn't mean I'm any good at actually doing it. And I would argue that the fact that I've never been really, well, I was signed to a label once, but not a real label. I've never really made it in the music world. I would argue that I don't have the talent to do it. I'm not really as talented as I think I am, or people might tell me I am to be when they're being polite. You know, I mean, you watch these videos and I can, you know, and they're all over YouTube and TikTok and everything. People just sitting down at the piano and they're just virtuosos. They open their mouth and sing and it's like, oh my God, did heavens, you know, the clouds just open up and heaven shone down on us all. It was just, you know, there's some really very talented people out there. I'm not saying I'm not talented, but I'm not that. So yeah, I definitely don't have a super confidence in myself, but what I do have super confidence is what I do. That's why I love that Chris Bode quote where it's like, you know, be the best you can be. And I'm sure that's not his, somebody else I'm sure said that, but you know, instead of trying to measure yourself against everybody else and well, you know, for me in the trumpet world, Wynton Marsalis is just, you know, one of the greatest trumpet players, potentially the greatest trumpet player of all time. He's just can do it all. Guy's outstanding, just virtuoso in every genre, every style. He's a composer. He's educated. He's just amazing, right? Like a total god of, you know, a living legend, literally. But I'll never be that. But that doesn't mean I suck. It just means I have to be the best that I can be and what I do the best. And that's what I'm trying to do is just embrace my skills and what I do and own it. And I think, you know, that's why it's taking so long and it may never actually come to full fruition that I actually make it because what I'm doing is in fact original, right? I don't sound like anybody else. I don't play like anybody else. My songs aren't like anybody else's. I mean, I try like hell, believe me, I really do. But the only thing I'm able to do is me. And if you've ever listened to artists that talk about stuff, you know, successful ones that have made it, if you ever listen to the people that talk about that, their road has been atrocious because they're not an easy sell. Because it's not like you're going to go hear the things that I'm doing 100 times and have seen that be successful. You're going to go, this is kind of different. Could this be successful? Is this worth the investment? And most of the time, the answer is no. That's why you get a no. Because they look at it like, well, if I spend 10 grand promoting this, is it going to do anything? I have no idea. Oftentimes, those things that are the most unique are the things that get the biggest because they are, in fact, unique. And that is actually pretty difficult to do in this world because so much stuff has already been done. But it's for sure not the for sure thing, right? I'm not like the next hair metal band of the 80s when everybody was loving that kind of music. And as long as you had spandex, long hair, and could play rock guitar music, your band could get signed, you know? And then grunge came along and just, that was, you know, like the anti-hair band kind of thing. But at the beginning, nobody wanted to take a chance on it. All those bands were underground. They were, most of them weren't signed, or they were signed to these small unknown labels. And then all of a sudden it exploded. And then everybody was wearing flannels, and every band coming out looked like Pearl Jam and Nirvana. You know, I mean, so it's like once it breaks through, then there's this opportunity. But I've never really resided, and that's my problem now, is that I don't reside in one category. You know, it's kind of like Prince. And look, I'm, disclaimer, I am in no way comparing myself to Prince in terms of talent. That guy was absolutely a genius and brilliant and, you know, like a million times over the musician I'll ever be in my lifetime. And, you know, he's already gone, and RIP, you know, rest in peace, brother. But my point is, you know, that guy was one in a million. You know, I mean, that's not, but he was not really pop, not really rock, not really soul, not really funk. I mean, he was all kinds of stuff. And it was, I'm sure, very difficult for him to break through. But he got a break, you know, and it worked out for him. But how many of those are there out there that it doesn't work out for? I would argue a lot, right? Because it's a risk, you know? There's so many artists that have that story. Well, we didn't want to take the risk. Well, you know, and then they end up being this massive thing. You know, it's like, well, I guess it was worth the risk. But from a business perspective, when you look at these things, you know, I understand you don't want to invest in something that you don't think is going to make you any money. Why would you do that? Especially now. I mean, that was potentially something that record labels did in the past, but they don't do that stuff now. Nobody's investing and taking risk. They're trying to mitigate risk. They want as little risk as possible. So they want you to come to the table with a million followers and a million fans and 100 million streams. So all of that shit is already done. All they got to do is put their money behind it, promote you in ways that you can't afford to do on your own, and you just become a super artist. I mean, that's really all these TV shows are, right? All the American Idols and America's Got Talent and all that stuff. What are they really doing? They're building up a fan base before they have to really spend any money building up a fan base. So all the contestants on those shows are well known when they're during the show and after the show, you know who they are. Millions of people know who they are. So when they put out an album, they've already got an audience of potentially millions of people that are willing to go stream, listen, buy, whatever, their music. So, you know, they're kind of like fudging the system in that way, where I don't have a platform that I can go expose my music to hundreds of millions of people. I mean, nobody knows who I am. And arguably, that's why nobody listens to my shit, because trying to find stuff organically now is really difficult. I mean, how is my stuff going to come up and show itself to new users, potentially new listeners? It's not. It doesn't do that on its own. And I have no idea how to do that. I'm not any kind of a marketing guy. So my shit just dies on the vine because I have no idea how to do that. So here's another public service announcement. If you're any kind of promoter, or you know how any of this crap works in the music world, hey, could you reach out to me? I would love to work with you. And I have no problem paying, you know, like commission fees and things like that, or giving up, you know, percentages of royalties or whatever it is. And I'm not being foolish by saying that. I'm being legitimate, because I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make this something that it's not. So it's going to go nowhere, right? I mean, for the last year, I have not landed on a major playlist. Yet I'm arguably putting out way better music than was ever on that playlist from me in the past. But nothing's getting taken now. So something is wrong. Either the music style doesn't fit the genre, or I'm pitching it to the wrong genre. I have no idea. How would I know? You can't be objective about your own artwork. It's your own artwork. It's too close. You're too close to it. Somebody else has to look at that, and I don't have that somebody else to look at it. Anyway, let's get to our poem of the day. Right? Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Garrett Michael Conklin. This one's called Connection. Connection. Reflection is but a myth. I stand and plead the fifth. This is not unlike a cruel gift or some interplanetary shift. It goes without saying that I wouldn't be underweighing while looking at this graying, perpetual enslaving. It looks right back without remorse. I stare intently with stern concourse. But what looks back is not divorce, but strongly resembles my own discourse. It's like innovation in its purity that is something sure to me. Though it's something I cannot see, it somehow makes me feel set free. So I will look forever into this reflection, withstanding all of its rejection, embracing its subjection, making my only true connection. Man, maybe I... if any of you guys understand any of the shit that I'm saying in these poems, I'd love to know too. So reach out there. I didn't do a word of the day today. I apologize. I had a couple words and then I forgot what they were. So I'm not going to do that today, but I'm going to try to fit that in with the word of the day, always being conundrum. I'd like to fit in a strange word that I seem to use that maybe isn't that common and just give a funny definition. Anyway, that's it for today. Wish me well. Hopefully I'll have I'll get some rest and I won't feel sick and feel crappy all day long. And I wish you well also. And as always, thank you for listening and thank you for supporting me and thank you for everything that you do in your life that contributes to the greater good of this world. Have a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye.